Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today is August 18th. Happy birthday to my kid. And hot and humid today. Highs of 92. More chances for not raining than for actual raining, although we had a heck of a storm last night in Belchase. Then a chance for showers returns on Thursday and Friday. And you know how it's going to be. The system off the coast of Africa, a wave that would be 2 weeks from now if it affected us at all. It has a 50-50 chance of developing. So it's nothing to worry about at all. But just keep in mind that we are watching it, et cetera. Rafael Goyeneche joins us now, president of Metropolitan Crime Commission. How you doing, Rafael?
I'm fine, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. I see a story here. I'm going to quote from it. Sophie Kasikov and James Finn, NOLA.com, interviewing somebody near Lake Pontchartrain. And he said, they quoted this man as saying, a neighborhood activist turned anti-establishment politician, Cantrell once seemed like a breath of fresh air for New Orleans, someone who would speak her mind about problems in the city, whether people wanted to hear it or not. I thought she was a really good person at first, this man says, but with decisions you make, consequences come behind them. And I just wanted to read that because I thought that was a pretty good synopsis. I was one of the first ones to put LaToya Cantrell on the air because a friend of mine, after Katrina, was living in mid-city and knew about the work she was doing. And the LaToya Cantrell of today is not that LaToya Cantrell.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we're finding out the hard way. Mm-hmm. But her problems, you know, her ethics and integrity issues didn't just surface when she became mayor of the city of New Orleans. There were smoke signals when she was on the city council. So on the cusp of her running for her first term as mayor, it was disclosed that she had used the city council credit card to make personal purchases. And when someone was doing, I guess, some campaign background investigations, one of the other candidates, they disclosed the fact that she had spent thousands of dollars on travel, made purchases with the city credit card for what appeared to be purely personal expenditures. And just before she qualified, she wrote a check to the city paying back several thousand dollars, indicating that this is just an oversight. And we now seeing that, you know, those were indicators. And once she was elected to office, she had access to more money and more power as mayor than she did as a council person.
So at what point, this is what I wanted to ask you, knowing you were coming on, at what point did the mayor attract the attention? Oh, wait, let me rephrase. At what point did LaToya Cantrell attract the attention of the Metropolitan Crime Commission?
So we started getting information about her when she was on the city council. And what we do, we're a little bit different than the media. So when we get information about ethical, administrative, or criminal wrongdoing, we document it and we send it to what we believe are the appropriate entities. Mm-hmm. So as we start to get information, we don't really talk about it publicly. Now, you know, when the media sniffs it out and they get information, their first recourse is to inform the public. Mm-hmm. I'm a former prosecutor. I recognize the value of the element of surprise. Mm-hmm. So when the investigators and prosecutors are receiving information, they have somewhat of an advantage if the offender or suspect is unaware that someone may be looking into their wrongdoing. That's the reason that we send the information to the appropriate agencies and don't discuss it publicly. But if the media sniffs it out and they come and ask us about it, of course, I'll comment on it because that'll generate more information, both with tips to the media as well as with information to the Crime Commission that we then forward to the appropriate agency.
Your thoughts, you're an attorney on and a former prosecutor on the indictment itself, 44 pages, I think?
Yep. And the first 24 pages of it go into rather explicit detail about the conspiracy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the mayor and Officer Vappi were charged with 17 counts dealing with wire fraud, obstruction, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, conspiracy to commit corruption. Obstruction of justice, and making false statements to the FBI and to a grand jury. So the government hinted at what was to come last fall when Officer Vappi was initially indicted by himself. In that indictment, where it was Vappi by himself, the government made reference in the indictment that they had the cell phone records of Officer Vappi and the mayor. So today we saw, or last Friday, we saw, you know, with great deal of specificity, not all, but a substantial portion of what the government has. They have over 15,000 text messages back and forth between the mayor and Officer Vappi. That's going to be the evidence that they use and the reason that they were indicted. The government not only believes that a crime was committed, they believe they have sufficient proof to obtain a conviction and convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that both Officer Vappi and Mayor Cantrell are guilty of the charges for which they were indicted for.
Let me take a break. We'll talk about encrypted messages when we come back. And you know, people think they're going to get away with stuff. And I'm not, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. But I'm just talking to the general public here. Once you start dealing with the phone or the computer, you might think you got an encrypted app. But when push comes to shove, I don't know that anything can ever be hidden or destroyed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Unless it's, I don't know, unless you burn it or something, I don't know. 721 traffic now, WWL. 726 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Monday morning, August 18th, back with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafael, I was talking about the messages, the encrypted stuff that I guess they thought was hidden. If you're going to engage in any kind of conspiracy, if you got an electronic trail, is there any way to really make it disappear?
Look, you're going to have an IT expert on, but obviously whatever they thought they had accomplished, they didn't. So what I do know is that, you know, with any type of digital evidence, even if you attempt to delete it, there's a footprint and there are countermeasures to be able to extract it. A lot of this information is stored in the cloud. For the government to get and open up the phones of Officer Vappi at the time and Mayor Cantrell, they had to have a judge sign a warrant giving them the authority to do that. This isn't just a fishing expedition. So they had to go to a judge and put in the warrant why they were requesting permission to open the phones to investigate what a crime, what they believe were potential, a strong propensity that a crime or crimes had been committed. So there wasn't just the government deciding to go on a fishing expedition. They have to go through the process. So you're talking about the FBI receiving the information, obtaining the phones, going to the United States Attorney's Office, U.S. Attorney's Office, assisting the FBI in the next step, which would be to open up these phones. And that's where really the floodgates opened up. So everything that you're seeing in the indictment, all of this stuff is corroborated not by eyewitnesses or hearsay, but by the communications between Officer Vapi and Mayor Cantrell. And that's pretty compelling evidence.
So when it comes to the adage, I don't know if it's true or not, a wife can't be compelled to testify against her husband. I don't know if that's true. These two are not married. They're in a relationship. Can they be forced to testify against each other, or they can take the
Fifth
Amendment?
Of course not. They're both defendants.
Okay.
So they do not have
Raphael, I'm not a lawyer. No.
Oh, I know. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. So, you know, they're
just kidding.
The government has the burden of proof in all of this. If they elect to take the stand and defend themselves, then they open themselves up to cross-examination.
When it comes to that's right. I forgot. I should have known that. When it comes to the likelihood of bargaining this down, from what you've seen, is the case pretty, as far as you know, so tight that the government's got no interest in bargaining anything down?
No. So look, you know, 99% of all of the criminal cases are resolved with a guilty plea. Mm. So there's always going to be negotiations and discussions about, well, if you elect to plead guilty, the government or the prosecution will reduce some of the charges. But that's typical in every case. This is no different. The mayor and Officer Vapi have a decision to make. You know, they can either enter into a plea agreement, which usually suggests that their penalties will be lesser, or they can elect to go to trial. And then that puts it strictly in the hands of the judge to decide, after hearing all of the facts, what the appropriate sentence would be.
Thank you, Raphael. Appreciate it as always. Raphael Goyeneche, we all saw this coming, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. And much like Ray Nagin, you know, a lot of times you think you're going to feel good when this finally happens. And I don't feel good. I think it's embarrassing for the city and embarrassing for everybody. And I wish it had never happened. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Bank on it. We'll talk about credit cards and more. Right now it's time for WWL First News. For that, we'll go to Dave Cohen.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.